Well, good morning. I just want to begin by saying to thank you. Firstly, thank you for inviting me here. It is a privilege for me to be here with you and share God's word with you. And I count that as a great privilege. So thank you for inviting me. I also want to thank you for your prayers for our work in Passage. As I was taking out my keys this morning, I noticed that there's a lot of keys on my key ring. And this is a show of God's favor to us in Passage West. Because on these keys, I have keys to the men's shed in Passage West. I have keys to the Father Collins Parish Center in Passage West. And keys to the rowing club in Passage West. And God has given us favor. And I praise his name for that. So if you would continue to pray for our work there, that God would continue to move as he has. He has been gracious to us, and we thank him for that. And I thank you for your prayers and continued prayers. If you'd open up your Bibles to Exodus 34, Exodus chapter 34, and if you would allow me to pray once more. Exodus 34. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can come before you in praise of your name. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us this morning through your word. Convict us by your word. Draw us to you by your word. That we might know more of you this morning and be drawn to see your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen. As we think about what we're going to go through this weekend, I want you to notice something first about people in this world, and you're included in those people. What I've noticed about people in this world and human beings in general is this: we hate to wait. As people, we hate to wait. Let me give you some examples of that. As parents, we hate waiting in cars for our children. As children, we hate waiting in school for our parents. As wives, we hate waiting for those jobs to be done in the house. As husbands, we hate waiting for the hair to be done. As drivers, we hate waiting in traffic. As passengers, we hate waiting for a lift. As landlords, we hate waiting for the rent. As tenants, we hate waiting for the plumber. As church leaders, we hate waiting for church to start. As congregants, we hate waiting for church to finish. As streamers, we hate waiting for the download. As social media junkies, we hate waiting for affirmation. As texters, we hate waiting for a reply. As shoppers, we hate waiting in line. As parkers, we hate waiting for that space. As eaters, we hate waiting for food. As flyers, we hate waiting for our bags, and the list goes on. We as people hate to wait. And you know what that means for us? If that is true for us, then we need to learn something this weekend. And what I think we need to learn this weekend is this: patience. And you say to me, well, I'm actually patient with my time and those kind of things. I'm not too bad when it comes to patience in that area. But you see, there is another part to that puzzle. There's not only patience in relation to our time, but also patience in relation to people. We are annoyed when people frustrate us and delay us. We lack patience with people. As wives, we're impatient with our husband's lack of leadership. As fathers, we're impatient with our children's lack of obedience. As brothers, we're impatient with our sister's lack of care. As employers, we're impatient with our employees' poor work ethic, and the list goes on. We lack patience. Not only when it comes to time, but also when it comes to people. And you might still be saying, if there is still someone left standing in this room who says, well, actually, when it comes to time, I'm quite patient. And when it comes to people, I'm quite patient. But there is still one more piece to that puzzle. Not just patience with time and patience with people, but what about patience with our problems? When problems hit our lives. You're sitting there, we're sitting there ticking the boxes in our lives saying these things aren't too bad. But what happens when problems hit our lives? The tire bursts. The car breaks down, the dryer's not working, your phone gets smashed. More seriously, your son gets injured, your mum gets cancer, or your wife leaves. Patience when it comes to our problems. And so I think this weekend, all of us need to learn patience. So what I'm going to do is go through the topic of patience. And these sermons are going to be quite different. They are going to be topical sermons in which we will study the topic of patience. Now, Shane, why did you want to study patience? See, most people, they speak on a topic because they are an expert in the field. I speak on this topic because I am a failure in the field. This is one of the areas that I fail in. Patience with time, patience with people, patience with problems. I am lacking. So do you know what I do when I am lacking in an area? I seek to go to the Bible, study it as much as I can, and if possible, try and teach it. Not because I've made it, but because I want to learn it. And so this is what we're going to do this week. Weekend, not week. Look at patience. And I could think of no better place to begin than looking at the patience of God himself. That is where we must begin when we begin any topic. The patience of God himself. And I think we see that in Exodus 34. Look at Exodus 34, verse 5, when it says this. Exodus 34, verse 5. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin." See, Moses prayed earlier on in this passage. Moses prayed, "Lord, will you show me your glory? Lord, show me your glory." And there the Lord stands in front of him, as it were. And the Lord pulls back the curtain on his character. And the Lord pulls back this curtain and he reveals to him his glory. And what the Lord reveals to him is this, that the Lord is loving, that the Lord is kind, that the Lord is faithful, that the Lord shows his steadfast love again and again, that the Lord is forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. But there are three words here that we often skip over in these verses, and they are these. The Lord is slow to anger. Three words. The Lord is slow to anger. And these three words are the Old Testament's way of telling us that the Lord is patient. There is an old word we used to use for these three words. The Lord is long-suffering. He puts up with us. But those three words are a good translation. He is slow to anger. And as we look at these three words, I want us to see, just as we look at just these three words, what these three words might tell us about patience, because I think they tell us something about patience. These three words tell us that patience is, firstly, the slowing down of anger. Because if you think of patience in your life, you should think of patience being related largely to anger. So those three areas I talked about, patience in relation to your time. What is it that you feel when you are in the car late for work again because of traffic? What is it that you feel where you are in the car and they're doing those roadworks again on the Bandon Road? What is it that you feel? What is it that wells up within you? Or in relation to people? What is it that wells up within you when your husband doesn't do the jobs that you've been asking him to do? What is it that wells up within you? Or patience with our problems. What is it that wells up within you when your Citroen C4 Grand Picasso has this boot lid that's broken off it? And you've tried to replace it, and someone said they were going to fix it. You paid him a lot of money, and he didn't fix it. And now you're going back to fix it, and it's going to cost you even more money. What is it that you feel? Let me tell you what I felt. Anger. And so that is the link between patience and anger. You see, the world will say, and we'll forgive ourselves, we will say this, oh, I'm just an impatient person. That's a nice way of saying you're an angry person. Now, sometimes the impatient person will be the anxious person. Sometimes it will relate to that, but most of all, it relates to anger. So firstly, the patience is the slowing down of anger. Secondly, patience, if it is the slowing down of anger, it is active, not passive. You see, when you find out that we're going to look at the topic of patience, what do you think? That is boring. Why? Because when we think of patience, we think of just sitting down and waiting and it being boring. We think of patience being passive, not active. But if patience is the slowing down of anger, what that means is we are going to have to make a choice. We're going to have to choose to slow down our anger. And if we are making that choice, not only do we need to make that choice, but we need to actively pursue the slowing down of anger, pulling away from our anger. So patience is a slowing down of anger. Patience is active, not passive. And patience is hard when we are provoked. If you think about your anger, when anger happens, usually it's because you're provoked by someone or something. Someone or something has provoked you to anger. And so that is the beginning of our definition of patience, just in relation to these three words. And we will add to this during the weekend. But it is this. Patience is the active slowing down of anger when provoked by someone or something. Patience is the active slowing down of anger when provoked by someone or something. God is slow to anger. He actively slows down his anger. He actively holds back his judgment when he is provoked again and again by his people and their sin. So what is important in this passage is not only the three words that are said of God, that he is slow to anger, not only the three words that are said of God, but when God says these three words. That is important. Let me remind you of when God said these three words. Chapter 32, beginning at verse 1. Chapter 32 to chapter 34 are this one kind of package in Exodus. Chapter 32, verse 1 says this. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down. Now just wait there a second. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down. He was so long, a whole 40 days. When he was so long in coming down. Do you know what? We as people hate to wait, don't we? When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around them, Aaron, and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that you and your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and made it into an idol and cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." Now think of that in the context of God and what God has done for his people. This is one of those phrases that solidifies this covenant relationship with God and his people. God often said to them this refrain, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, therefore do this. So in Exodus 20, before he gives the commandments to God's people, what does he say to them? I am the Lord your God who has brought you up out of Egypt. Therefore respond to my grace. In Leviticus 11, when he calls people to be holy as I am holy, when he calls people to a life of holiness, what does he remind them of? I am the Lord your God who has brought you up out of Egypt. And now they take this gold, which the Lord has provided for them. They take this gold and they take all this stuff and they fashion for themselves an idol before God. And they worship these idols, saying, these are the ones that have brought us up out of Egypt. Now, how are you going to feel? Angry. The Lord was the one who brought them up out of Egypt. And yet it is in this context, at the end of chapter 34, that we are told the Lord is still slow to anger. When his people have provoked him and gone against him, the Lord is still slow to anger. This for us as people is hard for us to comprehend. Because while there are three words that describe the Lord our God, he is slow to anger, there are three words that describe us. We are quick to anger. And you will see that in your life. If you look honestly at your life and the mirror of your life, if you look honestly at your life, you will see one truth. You are often quick to anger. And I am in that same boat. And when we think of anger, we often only think of one form of anger. I've read this book. It's called A Small Book About a Big Problem. It's by a guy called Ed Welsh. I'd recommend it to you. A Small Book About a Big Problem. Guess what the big problem is? Anger. Guess why Shane Dean needed to read it? Because I needed help. We all struggle with this, right? So he has 50 devotionals in relation to this issue of anger. Small book about a big problem. And what he says is there's three types of anger. And often we as people, we think of this first type of anger when we think of anger. We think firstly of hot anger. And hot anger is this. Wrath, war, murder, quarrels, explosions. Ever had one of those? Jealousy, rage, envy, hate, vengefulness, attacks, violence, oppression, and abuse. And so when we think of anger, we think of hot anger. Okay, so I usually don't have that form of anger, so I'm good. So most of us are probably, on that basis, most of us are probably still left standing. Although some of us are sitting down. There's another type. There is cold anger. This consists of the silent treatment, withdrawal, indifference, cold shouldering, controlling, detachment, score keeping, and criticizing. You ever kept score? You know, someone does this and you write it down in your little book. Okay, you don't have a little book, but you have one in your head. They do something against you, so you write it down. And the next time you have an argument, guess what happens? The list comes out. What are you doing? You're scorekeeping. Some of us, we give the silent treatment, and so we conclude that we are people who don't really get angry because I'm quiet. We can be angry in our silence. That is cold anger. But maybe there's people here and they say, well, I don't really struggle with hot anger and I don't really struggle with cold anger, but there is one more type of anger. And he calls it covert anger, which is this: grumbling, complaining, gossiping, defending, frustrating, smoldering, sarcasm, irritability, entitlement, eye rolling, superiority. Ever rolled your eyes? Ever been overly sarcastic? Sometimes that's an expression of anger. And so as we look at our lives and anger in our lives, we see, well, there are three words that describe God. He is slow to anger. There are three words that describe us. We are quick to anger. And you might say, well, Shane, you said that anger often happens when I'm provoked by someone or something. Therefore, the problem is outside of me. If it's provoked by someone or something, then guess whose fault my anger is? That's someone or something. But what I'd suggest to you is this, that someone or something is only the kindling for the fire that is within you. Our anger comes from within. How do I know that? James 4 verse 1 says this. You don't need to turn there, just listen. What causes quarrels and fights among you? He says. What is the cause of quarrels and fights? So when we're quarreling and fighting, do you know what you're doing? You're being angry. What is the cause of that anger, quarrels and fights? Do they not come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. So you quarrel and you fight. Where does the fighting and quarreling come from? Within us. The problem is not outside of us. The problem is within us. We are quick to anger. But the Lord is not like us. He is slow to anger. But what you must realize in that is this. While the Lord is slow to anger, it is not true to say that the Lord is never angry. Yes, he is slow to anger, but it is not true to say that he is never angry. Let me tell you why. Look at chapter 34 again, verses 5 to 7. Now, if you were reading closely, you will have noticed I skipped half of verse 7. When a preacher skips a verse, there's usually a reason. Sometimes we're sneaky. Chapter 34, verse 5, or don't know what the verse means, so we skip it. Chapter 34, verse 5. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. And so what we need to see is that while the Lord is slow to anger, that does not mean that he is not just. That does not mean that he will not punish sin. Because in his righteous judgment, he must punish sin. Even after the incident in Exodus 32, verses 1 to 4. Even after that incident, what do you find? You find that the Lord's anger is kindled. You find that people are punished. The grace is that not all of them get obliterated. The grace is that only 3,000 of them die that day. But God will judge and he will punish sin. But his anger is always a righteous anger. His anger is always a holy anger. And for us as human beings, that's hard for us to understand. Because guess what? Our anger isn't always righteous. And it isn't always holy. Imagine for parents, I think of this a bit. And there's kind of two angers that I can display as a parent. Right? The first anger is what I will softly call righteous anger, or I don't want to call it holy anger. Righteous anger is the type of anger that's okay for me to have. And it might be an anger like this. My child comes home from school and they say that someone is bullying them, or worse, abusing them. So what should I feel at that time? I think it is okay to feel anger at that time. Now with humans, it's messy. You know, if someone tells you, I'm feeling righteously angry, they're probably not. But there is a type of anger that we should have. Say with abortion, that should be a topic that makes us angry in a certain way. And it is this principle, Ephesians 4:26, in your anger, do not sin. So what does that seem to suggest? That there is an anger that we can have, that's not sin, but also we must be careful if we have anger, Guess where it leads to quickly for us as human beings? Sin. Very, very quickly. So there is a type of anger that can be right and good for us to have. But more often than not, what do we have? Unrighteous anger. So as a parent, I'm an expert at this. As a parent with our children, often we can have this unrighteous anger. So if you ever heard it said, or you may have said this, the sentence goes something like this. I am about to lose my patience. You ever said that or heard that said to you? I am about to lose my patience. What are you saying to your child? My beloved child, if you don't stop, anger is coming. Do you see? Patience and anger, they are linked. Often that is what we experience as parents and as people. We have anger, but our anger is all over the place. It flips and it flops, and very rarely do we have what you would call righteous anger. But God is different from us. God's anger is always holy. God's anger is always righteous. God's anger, though poured out on the unrighteous, is always righteous. Though not always understood, it is always justified. Though not always seen at all times, it is always timely. Though often severe, his anger is always controlled. Though often provoked, his anger is always planned. It's important that you hear that. Though often provoked, his anger is always planned. So what you will see in the scripture is his anger might be provoked by people, but you cannot say that he is just reacting to it. He is not reactionary. It's not outside of his plan. It is always planned and controlled and right and good. This is the Lord's anger. His anger is always towards the guilty, and it is always because of their sin. It is always right. It is always good. You hear the Psalms? Constantly, again and again, when you look at the Psalms, they talk about his judgments, the judgments of the Lord. And what do they cause in the Psalms? Praise. His judgments are praiseworthy. Yet, I think we should come back to those three words. While the Lord is just and righteous in his judgment, the Lord is always slow to anger. When we don't deserve it, the Lord is always slow to anger. And these three words were words that were constantly ringing in the ears of God's people throughout their history. You know, when Moses had led these people out of Egypt and led them out into the wilderness, and they started to complain, and the Lord's anger was kindled, and then Moses called back to the Lord in Numbers 14. He says this: the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion, yet he does not leave the guilty go unpunished. Moses remembers these words again in Numbers. David remembers these words in the Psalms. When he comes before the Lord, in Psalm 103, verse 8, he says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. David, in his last psalm, in Psalm 145, when he's singing praise to the Lord and extolling the name of the Lord and blessing the Lord, do you know what he says? The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. When David is lamenting over his sin, confessing his sin before the Lord, in Psalm 86, verse 15, he says these words, but you, O Lord, are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love and faithfulness. Joel remembers these words in Joel chapter 2, verse 13, when he's calling on God's people to repent and turn to the Lord. Here's what he says: return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Jonah remembers these three words. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, he says this, "O Lord, is it not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you were gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and a God who relents from sending calamity." Do you hear what Jonah says? I knew you would do it. I knew that this is what you would do. I would go to them, I would preach to them, then they would repent, and you would be the same God you always are. You would forgive them because you are slow to anger. I knew you're so annoyingly slow to anger. That's what he's saying to God. I knew if I went there that you would forgive, because it would be just like you to do that. These three words are ringing in God, in the ears of God's people throughout their generations. And these are three words that should ring in our ears too. Because do you know what happens when we get to the New Testament and we see the cross? Do you know what happens? We should see those three words again. The Lord is slow to anger. And yet when we look at the cross, do you know what we see? Yet he will not leave the guilty go unpunished. Sin will be punished. The Lord is just. And when we see the cross, we see his patience and his judgment meet together. And so what happens with these three words is they're originally one word in Hebrew. And then they went on a journey from Hebrew to Greek. And then from Greek, they went on a journey and they traveled from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, they're in many, many verses in the New Testament. And then it's translated over to English and it's translated as one word. And that one word is patient. And we hear that one word again in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, which says this. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some would understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come in repentance. The Lord is not slow in his return and his coming back, as you would think slowness. Do you know why the Lord is delaying his return? Because the Lord is patient with you. Because the Lord is giving you, and I believe Peter's talking to Christians, you, the opportunity again to repent. So do you know what I think we should do? If you were not left standing and had to take a seat, do you know what I think we should do today? At some point today, come to him. And repent. God wants us to do that. And remember that as we do, he is slow to anger. Come and repent of your anger. And then know the bliss of this glorious thought, that your anger, not in part, not just your hot anger, not just your cold anger, not just your covert anger, but all of your anger, your past anger, your present anger, and your future anger, your anger, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and you bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Come to him and repent of your anger and embrace his forgiveness. And do you know when you do that? I think you will have the same response as Moses had. In Exodus 34. Because do you know what Moses did after the Lord revealed his glory and pulled back the curtain of his glory? Do you know what it simply says in verse 8? Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshipped. When we see that God is slow to anger, do you know what we should do? We should bow to the ground at once and worship. Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you that you are a God who is slow to anger. And we pray, Lord, that as we look patience of you and the patience of others and the practice of patience in our lives, Lord, I pray that you would help us to come to you, have short account with you even this day. Lord, that we would come to you in repentance and seek forgiveness. Lord, we would come to each other if that is what we have expressed, anger toward one another in this church. We pray that we would come to you and come to others in repentance. Lord, you are so gracious to us. And we pray that thou would draw us this weekend to a place of worship. In your name I pray these things. Amen.